It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today. Welcome. Hello, hello. Happy Monday. It is 1900 UTC, and that means it's time to get going. We got lots of news to talk about. It's going to be a good time. I've got lots of stories. Thank you for listening. And away we go. Let's start where we always start.
World news.
Let's whirl the news around. All right. So you'll remember we did one follow-up. Here's the final one, I think. The Qatar airport police officers are now charged over invasive searches of women. So Qatar's public prosecutors filed criminal charges against an unspecified number of police officers working at Qatar's Hamad airport after a woman said they were invasively searched there last month. So this is good news. In that process, it was a really traumatic story, even just to read it. So I'm glad that they're making movements to punish the people that were involved. Some of the women were Australian, and the issue sparked outrage in Australia. Qatari officials said the searches were conducted in order to locate the mother of a newborn child found abandoned in a garbage bin in an airport bathroom. So we shall see how that plays out. But it's very good that they're making forward progress. Welcome, Ratsu. Thanks for tuning in. If you do want to chat, there is a live chat. Since this is a live show, all you got to do is dial up just SSH over to tty.sdf.org. Go ahead and connect. And once you're logged in, hit com, C-O-M, hit enter. Boom. You'll be in the chat program. Press G for go to. Type anon radio, and you'll be there. So thank you if you want to hang out and talk. All right. So next up, trial of a former French president, Sarkozy, postponed over co-defendant's health. So, French judges on Monday postponed the corruption trial of former President Nicolas Sarkozy until November 26th to assess the health of one of his co-defendants. Sarkozy was set to go on trial Monday for attempted bribery of a judge in what could turn into a humiliating postscript to a political career tainted by a litany of legal woes. The ex-president, along with his lawyer, Thierry Herzog, and Judge Gilbert Azibert, were accused of corruption. A lawyer for Azibert asked for the trial to be suspended because his client was high risk of contracting COVID-19, given a long-term heart condition. The judge has ordered an independent medical assessment by Thursday before deciding whether to go ahead with the trial or suspend it. Though Sarkozy won't be the first modern French president head of state in the dock, his predecessor and political mentor, Jacques Chirac, was convicted of embezzlement. He is the first to face corruption charges. So we'll see how that happens, how that plays out. Keep on going here. This is a pretty chilling, harrowing story here. A Saudi surgeon has died at work in a hospital operating room. This is coming to us from the BBC. A surgeon in Saudi Arabia has died in a hospital operating room where he was set to perform an orthopedic procedure, according to Saudi media. Mahid Al-Imari suffered a heart attack and died on Friday at the Khamis Mushait Civil Hospital, reports Al-Watan Daily website. Colleagues noticed that the doctor appeared ill and convinced him to get tested for heart problems. It is not known if he operated on the patient after the electrocardiogram. When Amari, this headline was deceiving. When Amari was present to perform a surgery for one of his patients, we noticed signs of fatigue on him, and he suffered from pains in his stomach. The head of the orthopedic department at the hospital is quoted as saying by the newspaper. The doctor explained that Mr. Amari initially refused to undergo a test and insisted he would perform the surgery on the patient, but he was eventually persuaded to get an electrocardiogram, which showed that he had had a heart attack. He died while performing his work. He is a martyr. So, that's all the story is. So, hey, welcome, Exile. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for coming over. Yeah, so, the headline and the story initially had me picturing a man, you know, in the middle of an operation falling down dead. But it appears he probably passed away or died not while operating, but in the operating theater. So that's not really any consolation. Wish his family well, but that is one of my fears, is that I'll go under anesthetic and then the surgeon will die or have a stroke or something. All right, let's go over here and jump over to Turkey. Well, technically Germany. This has come to us from Reuters. Turkey protested to Germany and the EU on Monday after German forces belonging to an EU military mission boarded and tried to search a Turkish cargo ship that they suspected of taking weapons to Libya illegally. Oh, and there's a video. It's about a minute long of surveillance footage in the article. Soldiers from the frigate Hamburg, part of an EU... Soldiers from the frigate Hamburg, part of an EU mission enforcing a UN arms embargo, boarded the Rosaline and overnight... Rosaline A overnight, but withdrew after Turkey raised objections with the EU mission, which had ordered the search of the German. The Germany Defense Ministry said. Turkey released footage showing armed men in military uniforms marshaling sailors. I can't talk right now. What happened? All right. Well, I don't feel bad, and my face hasn't slumped, so not having a stroke anyway. Let's keep on going. Turkey released footage showing armed men in military uniform marshaling sailors with their hands on their heads on the bridge of. This sounds like another stupid robo. Fucking article. I hate these. Anyway, the big story or the actual story here is that Turkey is arguing that the EU shouldn't be inspecting its cargo. So we'll see how that goes. Embargoes are always fun. Alrighty, here's another one. It's coming to us from the BBC. COVID vaccination will be required to fly, says Qantas chief. So the Australian Flags carrier's boss, Alan Joyce, said the move would be a necessity when vaccines are available. I think it's going to be a common thing, talking to my colleagues and other airlines around the globe, he said. Australia shut down its international borders early in the pandemic and required those returning to quarantine. The country has more recently relied on lockdowns, widespread testing, and aggressive contract tracing to push daily infections nationwide close to zero. In an interview with Australia's Nine Network on Monday, Mr. Joyce said Qantas was looking at ways of changing its terms and conditions for international travelers as the industry, which has been hit hard by travel restrictions, looks at ways of moving forward. So we'll see what happens there. That'll be kind of interesting if you have to start carrying around proof of vaccination with your, like, passport and stuff. Alrighty. And Bulgaria, talking about vaccinations and COVID-19, Bulgaria is planning a lockdown to contain coronavirus surge. Bulgaria plans to close schools, restaurants, and shops and ban all sporting events, private celebrations, and excursions as it struggles to contain a coronavirus case surge. The Balkan County's health minister, Kostadin Angelov, said on Monday that... Put that in comp. Kostadin Angelov said on Monday that the measures to be debated by the center-right government on Wednesday were aimed at preventing a struggling health system from being overwhelmed. New coronavirus cases have doubled in the past week to 23,569. So 23,569. Bulgaria health ministry data showed... They're all ascending. I like that. Health ministry data showed bringing the total number to 121,820 in the country of 7 million. Some 6,350 people are in the hospital, 1,000 more than a week ago, and more than 400 are in intensive care. Hospitals are strained with many short staff due to rising infections among medics, while ambulances have been searching for coronavirus beds in major cities. So, no matter how prepared, no health system can withstand such a pressure, Angelov told reporters. So we'll see how this goes. Tourist trips both at home and abroad will also be banned, and earlier Prime Minister Boyko Borisov said the measures should be balanced to keep the small and open economy going, and Angelov said he hoped the measures could allow some easing for the Christmas holidays. And this surge, you know, in COVID-19 raising infection rates and all of that also brings with it something that's a little shitty, extra crappy, I guess. COVID-19 pandemic triggers global spike in violence against women. So no country has been spared the coronavirus pandemic, nor the scourge of domestic violence, which surged during lockdowns as the day marking such violence approaches on Wednesday. From a spike in rapes in Nigeria and South Africa, increased numbers of women missing in Peru, higher rates of women being killed in Brazil and Mexico, and overwhelmed associations in Europe, the pandemic has aggravated the plague of sexual violence. Welcome, X-Win. According to UN data released in late September, lockdowns have led to increases in complaints or calls to report domestic abuse of 25% in Argentina, 30% in Cyprus and France, and 33% in Singapore. In essentially all countries, measures to limit the spread of the coronavirus have resulted in women and children being confined at home. The house is the most dangerous place for women, Moroccan associations noted in April, as they pressed authorities for an emergency response. So it's very scary times indeed. This has come to us from France 24, so feel free to read the whole story there. It's a little bit longer than we can get into right now. And one more world news story for you. The Shanghai COVID outbreak has been... So there's a second wave, there's an outbreak in Shanghai right now. A lot of my coworkers are stuck working from home. Airport staff tests and flights canceled as officials say two cargo handlers were first cases. So a coronavirus outbreak in Shanghai has been traced to two cargo handlers who cleaned a container that had just arrived from North America, Chinese health officials have said. Hundreds of flights were canceled at Shanghai's Pudong International Airport, one of the world's busiest transport hubs, amid chaotic scenes caused by a sudden decision to test airport staff on Sunday. Overnight, from Sunday into Monday, workers in full protective gear ushered staff into a multi-story car park to have the virus test. Videos posted online by Shanghai health authorities showed scores of people filing into the facility. The virus outbreak is largely under control in China, but authorities have warned of the possibility for new outbreaks as the weather gets colder and have reacted to a small number of local cases by testing millions of people and introducing lockdowns and school closures in Tianjin, Shanghai, and Manzhouli. Shanghai has reported at least 7 local cases of COVID-19 after 5 months of no community transmission. First cases, recorded on 9th and 10th of November, were airport cargo handlers. Sun Jiangdong, and a Shanghai Disease Control Center official, said the two employees had entered and cleaned the container on October 30th, suggesting a timeline matching that of the usual presentation of symptoms after infection. Neither was wearing a mask inside the container, which was sealed off and damp inside. Sun added that the strain of the virus found in both workers was similar to that in North America. So, very, very interesting things going on there. So, we'll see how that plays out. But, yeah, it's looking like until it's a big global problem, and getting everyone to work together, or at least for our own benefit work together, is going to be a bit of a challenge. Well, you know, now's the time...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Yep. Now's the time where we play a little song. This is Birds in the Morning by Butterflies. It comes off of the NG Records CD sampler that I got way back in the 90s. And I just like this song. Hope you enjoy.
Tempted by the plastic fruit and wigs outnumber the head. Promises are white boots and chocolate by the side of the bed. Birds in the morning on a wire told me a secret. Birds in the morning on a wire told me a secret. Somebody said they about all the reasons she left. Birds in the morning on a wire told me a secret. Birds in the morning on a wire told me a secret.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Yes, welcome. I just remembered. So, I like to drink, and it was very funny, because I was sitting here and I was like, why do I want cookies? Didn't I buy cookies? And I couldn't remember. And then I took a sip of my Jinjinmei, delicious tea, and I remembered very fuzzily that while at the bar late last night, I said, hold on, and I went down to the corner store and I bought some cookies and a big bag of chips, and then I brought them back and gave them to the bartender. what a world, you know? At least, you know what? That's the semblance of normalcy that I need. I just need random days where it's like, oh, I was at the bar way too late at night and did some kind of shenanigans. All right. Let's start up. Let's do our world news, or not world news, our U.S. news. There's a bunch of annoying things happening. Of course, what's not annoying, the Dubious Goals Committee comes up at 1930 UTC every day, and it's a good show. It's lots of fun. Tobe has many different interests, so whether or not you want to hunt golf balls, dudes, build guitars, there's always something going on. So definitely worth checking out. All right, so here we go. Reuters is reporting, new Trump rule may require some African tourists to pay up to $15,000 in bonds. And it has, the story has the scariest photo of Trump in it. He's just staring dead into the camera. It's very bad. All right, so the outgoing administration of U.S. President Donald Trump on Monday issued a new temporary rule that could require tourists and business travelers from 24 countries, most in Africa, to pay a bond of as much as $15,000 to visit the United States. The U.S. State Department said the temporary final rule, which takes effect on December 24th and runs through June 24th, targets countries whose nationals have higher rates of overstaying B2 visas for tourists and B1 visas for business travelers. The Trump administration said the six-month pilot program aims to test the feasibility of collecting such bonds and will serve as a diplomatic deterrence to overstaying the visas. Hey, welcome, Harry Larry. Glad you're tuned in. Glad you're here. Looking forward to Harry Larry's after Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe today. So just leave Anon Radio on. Go do your chores, cook your lunch, whatever. There's lots to listen to for the next couple hours, so definitely worth sticking around. Sorry, I'm kind of advertising heavy today. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, let's keep on rolling. The U.S. State Department said the temporary final... Oh, I read that. Lost my place. Trump, who lost a re-election bid earlier this month, made restricting immigration a central part of his four-year term in office. President-elect Joe Biden has pledged to reverse many of the Republican president's immigration policies, but untangling hundreds of changes could take months or years. So, we'll see what's going on there. But yeah, that's going to be interesting. And helicopter people. Oh, yeah. BJD doll discussion on the Dubious Goals Committee. That's ball joint dolls. Some of them are pretty expensive. It's pretty neat. Anyway, you'll have to listen to get the whole scoop. Helicopter pilot finds strange monolith in remote part of Utah. A state employee has spotted mysterious metal structure amid red rocks while counting bighorn sheep. A mysterious monolith has been discovered in a remote part of Utah after being spotted by state employees counting sheep from a helicopter. The structure, estimated at between 10 feet and 12 feet high, so like 4 meters tall, appeared to be planted in the ground. It was made from some sort of metal, its shine in sharp contrast to the enormous red rocks which surrounded it. Utah's Highway Patrol shared images of both the sheep and shared images of both the sheep and the monolith. And so let's see if it, oh, yeah. What do you know? Huh. I'll post a link to the Guardian story in com because that's a cool, it's just a big chunk of metal in the ground. Monolith. All right, let's keep on a rolling. I'm saying that a lot today. You know, that just what happens sometimes. Biden's named John Kerry as U.S. climate czar, emphasizing diplomacy's role in the fight. So John Kerry was our former Secretary of State. So Here's the story. U.S. President-elect Joe Biden's transition team said on Monday former Secretary of State John Kerry will be named climate czar, a sign that Biden views diplomatic skills as vital to the job. As Biden's special envoy for climate, Kerry will have a seat on the National Security Council in the White House, marking the first time an official will be dedicated to the issue in that organization, Biden's transition team said in a statement. The NSC, that's November Sierra Charlie, has played a powerful foreign policy role since it was created in 1947 under President Harry Truman. Biden has pledged to reverse course on climate from Donald Trump, who doubts mainstream climate science. He yanked the United States out of the 2015 Paris Agreement on climate and dismantled Obama-era climate and environmental regulations to boost drilling, mining, and manufacturing. So, see what's going on. Welcome, Claudio M. Hello, hello. Welcome. Looks like we're getting all the DGC crew filing in. Pretty exciting. All right. Hey, congrats, Claudio. All right, so let's keep on moving. Rolling, rolling, rolling. So, we've got about 9 minutes, so I don't have time to go into full detail on some of these stories, but ProPublica has a great piece about the headline is New York court officials complete rare review of cases handled by judge forced into retirement by dementia. And in this, basically, in August, New York court officials made a sad and surprising announcement. Sean Dia Simpson, a 54-year-old judge, was retiring because of early onset Alzheimer's disease. It was both a tragedy and a dilemma. How would anyone know whether the judge's illness had affected her handling of cases in the months, maybe years before she was forced from the bench? In October, court officials announced they would do something rare, conduct a review of scores of the judge's orders and decisions to see if there were obvious examples of mistakes or misguided judgments. So, the article's quite long, but it's kind of interesting to think about. Or it's not super long, but longer than we have time for, but it's very interesting. And that's something I liked. That's what I'm telling you about it. All right, Independent is reporting 12-year-old boy fatally shot after answering knock at his Philadelphia front door. A 12-year-old boy was fatally shot after he heard a knock and went to answer the front door in his Philadelphia home, authorities say. The boy, identified as Sadiq Clark Harrison by CBS Philly, was shot in the face and killed shortly before 3 a.m. on Sunday morning. A knock was heard at the front door of the Frankfurt home before a bullet was shot through the crescent moon glass of the door. What we know at this time is that there was a knock at the door, no description of any persons at the door, one shot was fired, Deputy Commissioner Melvin Singleton said, according to the police report. We do have on the porch of the location one 9mm shell casing, and that's all we know in this particular point in time. The bullet hit the child in the face, and he was pronounced dead at the scene after emergency responders attempted to resuscitate him. They took my baby away from me. He was a good boy, his mother Lisa Clark told CBS Philly. She said a grown man's voice was heard calling out to her son prior to the shooting. Sadiq, Sadiq. So he was coming outside to answer the door because they were calling his name and he didn't even open the door. He looked at the top of the door and they shot him through his eye. So this is a very sad story. Senseless violence. But it's really sad. GM is no longer backing Trump's effort to bar California emission rules. And that's something you can expect in U.S. news. Is a lot of big corporations, they wholly back and support whatever the administration that's in power says. So you can expect a lot of companies to start jumping on the bandwagon for climate change and women's rights and all that other stuff now that the Democratic Party is going to be taking power. So this is just one of those examples. General Motors said on Monday it was reversing course and will no longer back the Trump administration's effort to bar California from setting its own emission rules in an ongoing court fight. GM Chief Executive Mary Barra said in a letter to the environmental groups, it was immediately withdrawing from the preemption litigation and inviting other automakers to join us. The dramatic rejection came as GM sought to work with President-elect Joe Biden, who has made boosting electric vehicles a top priority. So that story about the kid is really sad. It'll stick with you for a while. All right, we got about 5 minutes. I really want to cover this story, and then I'll just do the headlines real quick. And that's, as demands for work stoppage grow, UAW, that's the United Auto Workers, which is a large union, officials tell Sterling Heights assembly workers, don't read the World Socialist website. That's right, this is coming to you from the World Socialist website. You can read that at WhiskeySierra.org. That's WSWS.org. In the face of growing demands by Fiat Chrysler workers to halt production at the Sterling Heights assembly plant to stop the spread of COVID-19, local United Auto Workers officials are lashing out at the World Socialist website, and rank-and-file workers have tuned to the WSWS to expose the deadly conditions at the suburban Detroit auto factory. Infections have been spreading throughout. The plant is shortened to SHAP, S-H-A-P, which employs 7,200 workers, and the nearby Sterling Stamping Plant, which employs another 2,300 people. Earlier this month, relatives reported that veteran SHAP worker Mark Bianchi had died of COVID-19. He would be at least the fifth SHAP worker who has died from coronavirus this year. Another two workers have died at the stamping plant. The response of the UAW has been to help FCA management, so that's Fiat Chrysler management, conceal the number of infections while forcing workers to remain on the job and falsely claiming that adequate safety protocols are in place. In June, SHAP workers and workers at the nearby Jefferson North assembly plant carried out work stoppages in defiance of the UAW to protect their lives and then set up rank-and-file committees independent of the UAW. The growing anger of workers and their turn to the WSWS to voice their concerns and organize their resistance has terrified the union. On its UAW Local 1700 Worker to Worker podcast released over the weekend, local union president Lou Pyle and vice president Tavares Oliver repeatedly warned workers against speaking to the WSWS. "This is an anti-union website that seeks to destroy or discredit the union," Paul railed. "Don't believe anything you see or read on social media, especially this website." Their contemptuous attitude towards the life and death consequences of workers was revealed when Paul and Oliver dismissed workers' inquiries about possible infections as yada yada yada. Neither Paul nor Oliver could cite a single example of any supposed misinformation presented by the WSWS. This only underscores the fact that the two union bureaucrats are not concerned about the spread of false information, but the publication of the truth, which they have been working overtime to conceal. And the article goes on, but it does include a spot here. Sorry, I was trying to find the line here. Here it is. Meanwhile, as the SHAP Rank and File Safety Committee was calling for action by workers to halt the spread of the pandemic, UAW Local 1700 president responded to growing demands for action by sending a threatening letter to workers, warning them not to post anything on social media about conditions in the plant. This underscores the hypocrisy of his claim in the podcast that the union is not trying to silence anyone and that it supports freedom of speech. So, I think unions are great, but a lot of times you see this kind of thing where once management and union bosses are too friendly, now the union is basically just an extension of the office of the worker that you're trying to do it. So, yeah. Yeah, and of course, as X1 pointed out, there's no truth doesn't sell advertising. So, yeah, that's the truth. So anyway, you can read a lot of long-form articles, a lot of stories at the World Socialist website. I like them, but I'm a bit lefty. All right, so we've only got about a minute to go, probably less. Dubious Goals Committee is coming up. Mix Remix is coming up. You're listening to non-radio. I really appreciate you tuning in. Let's do as many headlines as we can before the sound plays. As COVID surges, doctors are striking against retail health. So in these times, as a conversation with Dr. Amir Atabeye, a physician at the MultiCare Indigo Urgent Care in Thurston County, Wisconsin. Oh, we only got one. All right, well, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.